Welcome to Chapter 17, The Clouds Burst, with huge apologies for any mispronunciation. Next day, the trumpets rang early in the camp. Soon a single runner was seen hurrying along the narrow path. At a distance, he stood and hailed them, asking whether Thorin would now listen to another embassy, since new tidings had come to hand and matters were changed. "That will be Daeyn," said Thorin when he heard. "They will have got wind of his coming. I thought that would alter their mood. Bid them come few in number and weaponless, and I will hear," he called to the messenger. About midday, the banners of the forest and the lake were seen to be borne forth again. A company of 20 was approaching. At the beginning of the narrow way, they laid aside sword and spear and came on towards the gate. Wondering, the dwarves saw that among them were both Bard and the Elven King, before whom an old man wrapped in cloak and hood bore a strong casket of iron-bound wood. "Hail, Thorin," said Bard. "Are you still of the same mind?" "My mind does not change with the rising and setting of a few suns," answered Thorin. "Did you come to ask me idle questions? Still, the elf host has not departed as I bade. Till then you come in vain to bargain with me." "Is there then nothing for which you would yield any of your gold?"
"Nothing that you or your friends have to offer."
"What of the Arkenstone of Thrain?" said he. And at the same moment the old man opened the casket and held aloft the jewel. The light leapt from his hand, bright and white in the morning. Then Thorin was stricken dumb with amazement and confusion. No one spoke for a long while. Thorin at length broke the silence, and his voice was thick with wrath. "That stone was my father's and is mine," he said. "Why should I purchase my own?" But wonder overcame him, and he added, "But how came you by the heirloom of my house, if there is need to ask such a question of thieves?" "We are not thieves," Bard answered. "Your own we will give back, in return for our own." "How came you by it?" shouted Thorin in gathering rage. "I gave it them," squeaked Bilbo, who was peeping over the wall by now in a dreadful fright. You, cried Thorin, turning upon him and grasping him with both hands. "You miserable hobbit, you undersized burglar," he shouted at a loss for words, and he shook poor Bilbo like a rabbit. "By the beard of Durin, I wish I had Gandalf here. Curse him for his choice of you, may his beard wither. As for you, I will throw you to the rocks," he cried, and lifted Bilbo in his arms.
"Stay, your wish is granted," said a voice. The old man with a casket threw aside his hood and cloak. "Here is Gandalf, and none too soon, it seems. If you don't like my burglar, please don't damage him. Put him down and listen first to what he has to say."
"You all seem in league," said Thorin, dropping Bilbo on the top of the wall. "Never again will I have dealings with any wizard or his friends. What have you to say, you descendant of rats?"
Dear me, said Bilbo, I'm sure this is very uncomfortable. You may remember saying that I might choose my own 14th share. Perhaps I took it too literally. I've been told that dwarves are sometimes politer in word than deed. The time was, all the same, when you seemed to think that I had been of some service.
Descendant of rats, indeed? Is this all the service of you and your family that I was promised, Thorin?
Take it that I have disposed of my share as I wished, and let it go at that.
I will, said Thorin grimly. And I will let you go at that, and may we never meet again.
Then he turned and spoke over the wall. I am betrayed, he said. It was rightly guessed that I could not forbear to redeem the Arkenstone, the treasure of my house. For it I will give 1/14th share of the hoard in silver and gold, setting aside the gems, but that shall be accounted the promised share of this traitor, and with that reward he shall depart, and you can divide it as you will. He will get little enough, I doubt not. Take him if you wish him to live, and no friendship of mine goes with him.
Get down now to your friends, he said to Bilbo, or I will throw you down.
What about the gold and silver? Asked Bilbo.
That shall follow after, as can be arranged, said he. Get down!
Until then, we keep the stone, cried Bard.
You are not making a very splendid figure as king under the mountain, said Gandalf, but things may change yet.
They may indeed, said Thorin, and already so strong was the bewilderment of the treasure upon him, he was pondering whether by the help of Daeyn he may not recapture the Arkenstone and withhold the share of the reward. And so Bilbo was swung down from the wall and departed with nothing for all his trouble, except the armour which Thorin had given him already. More than one of the dwarves in their hearts felt shame and pity at his going.
Farewell, he cried to them.
We may meet again as friends. Be off, called Thorin. You have mail upon you, which was made by my folk, and it is too good for you. It cannot be pierced by arrows, but if you do not hasten, I will sting your miserable feet, so be swift.
Not so hasty, said Bard. We will give you until tomorrow. At noon we will return and see if you have brought from the hoard the portion that is to be set against the stone. If that is done without deceit, then we will depart, and the elf host will go back to the forest. In the meanwhile, farewell. With that they went back to the camp, but Thorin sent messengers by Roach, telling Daen of what had passed, and bidding him come with wary speed. That day passed, and the night. The next day the wind shifted west, and the air was dark and gloomy. The morning was still early when a cry was heard in the camp. Runners came in to report that a host of dwarves had appeared around the eastern spur of the mountain, and was now hastening to Dale. Daen had come. He had hurried on through the night, and so had come upon them sooner than they had expected. Each one of his folk was clad in a hauberk of steel mail that hung to his knees, and his legs were covered with hose of a fine and flexible metal mesh, the secret of whose making was possessed by Daen's people. The dwarves are exceedingly strong for their height, but most of these were strong even for dwarves. In battle they wield heavy two-handed mattocks, but each of them had also a short broadsword at his side and a round shield slung at his back. Their beards were forked and plaited and thrust into their belts. Their caps were of iron, and they were shod with iron, and their faces were grim. Trumpets called men and elves to arms. Before long, the dwarves could be seen coming up the valley at a great pace. They halted between the river and the eastern spur, but a few held on their way, and crossing the river, drew near the camp, and there they laid down their weapons, and they held up their hands in signs of peace. Bard went to meet them, and with him went Bilbo. "We are sent from Daen, son of Nain," they said when questioned. "We are hastening to our kinsmen in the mountain, since we learn that the kingdom of old is renewed. But who are you that sit in the plain as foes before defended walls?" This, of course, in the polite and rather old-fashioned language of such occasions, meant simply, "You have no business here. We are going on, so make way, or we shall fight you." They meant to push on between the mountain and the loop of the river, for the narrow land there did not seem to be strongly guarded. Bard, of course, refused to allow the dwarves to go straight on to the mountain. He was determined to wait until the gold and silver had been brought out in exchange for the Arkenstone, for he did not believe that this would be done. If once the fortress was manned with so large and warlike a company. They had brought with them a great store of supplies, for the dwarves can carry very heavy burdens, and nearly all of Dane's folks, in spite of their rapid march, bore huge packs on their backs in addition to their weapons. They would stand a siege for weeks, and by that time yet more dwarves might come, and yet more, for Thorin had many relatives. Also they would be able to reopen and guard some other gate, so that the besiegers would have to encircle the whole mountain, and for that they had not sufficient numbers. These were, in fact, precisely their plans, for the raven messengers had been busy between Thorin and Daen. But for the moment the way was barred, so after angry words the dwarf messengers retired, muttering in their beards. Bard then sent messengers at once to the gate, but they found no gold or payment. Arrows came forth as soon as they were within shot, and they hastened back in dismay. In the camp, all now was astir, as if for battle, for the dwarves of Daen were advancing along the eastern bank. "Ha, ha, fools," laughed Bard, "to come thus beneath the mountain's arm. They do not understand war above ground, whatever they may know of battle in the mines. There are many of our archers and spearmen now hidden in the rocks upon their right flank. Dwarf mail may be good, but they will soon be hard put to it. Let us set on them now from both sides before they are fully rested." But the Elven King said, "Long will I tarry ere I begin this war for gold. The dwarves cannot press us unless we will, or do anything that we cannot mark. Let us hope still for something that will bring reconciliation. Our advantage in numbers will be enough, if in the end it must come to unhappy blows." But he reckoned without the dwarves. The knowledge that the Arkenstone was in the hands of the besiegers burned in their thoughts. Also they guessed the hesitation of Bard and his friends, and resolved to strike while they debated. Suddenly, without a signal, they sprang silently forward to attack. Bows twanged, arrows whistled. Battle was about to be joined. Still more suddenly, a darkness came on with dreadful swiftness. A black cloud hurried over the sky. Winter thunder on a wild wind rolled roaring up and rumbled in the mountain, and lightning lit its peak. And beneath the thunder, another blackness could be seen whirling forward. But it did not come with the wind. It came from the north, like a vast cloud of birds, so dense that no light could be seen between their wings. "Halt!" cried Gandalf, who appeared suddenly, and stood alone, with arms uplifted, between the advancing dwarves and the ranks awaiting them. "Halt!" he called in a voice like thunder, and his staff blazed forth with a flash like the lightning. "Dread has come upon you all. Alas, it has come more swiftly than I guessed. The goblins are upon you. Bolg of the North is coming, Odaen, whose father you slew in Moria. Behold, the bats are above his army like a sea of locusts. They ride upon wolves, and wargs are in their train." Amazement and confusion fell upon them all. Even as Gandalf had been speaking, the darkness grew. The dwarves halted and gazed at the sky. The elves cried out with many voices. "Come," called Gandalf. "There is yet time for counsel. Let Daen, son of Nain, come swiftly to us." Da, da, da. And there I shall leave it for Mrs. Hughes to pick up tomorrow. Good night.